He uses the ordinary to do the extraordinary for his glory. We've been called to praise. This final Sunday in Advent, the shepherd's call was the call of Christmas, the call to praise, to worship, to adore. And after studying and seeing that earlier this week and studying and now seeing it once again and singing these songs today, they came more alive to me. Just imagining, which we never could, the splendor, the majesty, the exuberance of what that first night was like for the shepherds in the field. Let's pray. Father God, you're the revelator. Holy Spirit, you bring revelation to us. You open the eyes of our heart and our understanding. And I'm asking, Spirit of the living God, that you will do just that. There's a good chance that we've all heard this story, possibly could recite it. But knowing it by rote or in our minds cannot compare to having the eyes of our understanding, the eyes of our heart, having revelation that we have been called to praise you, to tell the good news. Father, would you quicken that as only you can by your Spirit today? Bring this alive to our hearts. I pray this in your holy name and for your glory, Jesus. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. Have you ever found yourself looking or even gazing at something so amazing that it actually took your breath away? Have you ever? Now, I have our newlyweds over here, and I'm sure when you first saw each other, you had your breath taken away, probably. Was it love at first sight? I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I have. I've stood at the edge of the Grand Canyon, and I have surveyed the vastness of that amazing textured landscape. Anybody? And it takes your breath away. Takes your breath away. How many have ever been to Niagara Falls? I have not. I've seen pictures. My folks have been there. They even videoed and I heard the sound, but I've never been there. How about just a sunrise or a sunset that have been in glorious colors? Has a sunrise or a sunset ever taken your breath away? Anybody? How about a double rainbow? The ones that go, wha-cha, wha-cha, you know, double, full. Have you ever gotten your phone out, your camera out? Because it was just too much. It was amazing. How many campers in the house? Anybody like to go camping? Okay. Have you ever been camping when all the city lights are gone because you're far enough out that you don't have that and you have nothing but starlight? Galaxies. I'm talking galaxies. Stars dancing in their brilliance. Has it absolutely taken your breath away? Yeah, it has mine. I've seen Pastor D's pictures of the Alaskan Northern Lights, our friends from Alaska. You've seen probably the Northern Lights, and I've seen her pictures. I've never been there. I can only imagine the glory. How many have ever been to Disney World, Disneyland? I know Sarah just got back from there. Okay, and I want to say, if you've been there at night and you've been part of that sky extravaganza when they do their magical fireworks, you'll hear oohs and you'll hear ahs. It's a grand finale. It's a show like none other. But I want to say, nothing can compare. Nothing can compare to Christ's creation, God's almighty display of splendor. You don't have to travel the globe. You don't have to go far. Just this morning, driving here, coming down McCully Mountain, about 7:30, the sky was like cotton candy, Charlie. Pink and blue cotton candy. Snow trees, ice. It was glorious. The sunrise, the mountains, it was glorious. It took my breath away. I have a little pastime, a little hobby that I do, and I call it chasing the sun. I literally chase sunrises and sunsets in my car. I really do that. I will get up early, and I'll know, and I'll go. Or at dusk, dawn, whatever, I will go to chase the sunsets and the sunrises because they take my breath away. I can remember traveling just right here in the canyon, not far, far away, but right here in the canyon, and I would go on all these country roads to see what was behind that door of splendor of God's creation. And I remember the first time I went at McCully Mountain, and about hairpin turn 7, I think there's 8 of them, almost to the top, I remember looking over where there was a clearing of trees for the first time, and it looked down into the canyon. And the clouds were down, the fog was down in the canyon, in the valley floor, but the sun was above, shining on the clouds. It was breathtaking. And I find myself saying out loud in my car by myself, "Good job! Good job, God!" I've turned the corner and said, "Splendid! You done good." His creation is amazing. I take pictures, but pictures can't compare. Nothing. You have that photograph forever, but it can't compare to the spectacular of being there. Nothing this side of heaven could take the place of the shock and the holy awe that those shepherds experienced on that holy night, as heaven came down and kissed the earth. Disney's Magic Kingdom has nothing on the kingdom of God when it comes to displaying heavenly splendor and blasting a chorus of praise that proclaimed, "This is the call of Christmas. It is the call of praise." I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among all those with whom God is pleased. Those are the words that the angel proclaimed that night when their eternal King, who was and is and who is to come, made his appearance, and he took on flesh, and he was born the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, in a lowly manger. What an unforgettable holy night. A simple little manger. You know, we've said that so much, you guys. It's just become like, yeah, a manger. But think of it. A manger. You guys, a place for hay, for straw. Dirty, stinky, not clean. A manger. A manger holding the King of Glory. It's magnificent. It had been prophesied years ago that you would find that baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. A simple little manger holding the Messiah, coupled with this amazing message from the angels, was magnified by this heavenly host. The Messiah had arrived. That is a call for much praise. The call is still the same today. Get all excited. Go tell everybody. Jesus Christ has been born, lives, is soon to come. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow, and so can you. That is our hope. That is our joy that gives peace of heart, no matter where we're at, no matter what we're going through. I've often taught on giving thanks in all things, at all times. I've talked about the fact that our attitude determines our altitude, okay? We can stay down low and grumble, complain, and go around and around that mountain for 40 years as we complain, 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 as the children of Israel did. or we can praise and be raised. Praise and be raised. I gave us a challenge in November to complain and not, or not to give thanks and not complain, not to mix our thanks with complaining. That's a challenge, but it is our goal. But I want to say this morning that you could give me a gift and I could thank you for it in all sincerity, but it's not the same as praise. We're to thank the Lord at all times. We're also to praise Him. Praise takes it up a notch. Praise is to adore, give adoration, give love, give respect, give honor. I can thank you, but not have all of those attributes in thanks. Praise is the next level. Praise Him with all that is within you. Praise His holy name. Luke's gospel sets the stage. It sets the stage for the scene of where the Savior would be born, in the little town of Bethlehem, which was prophesied and foretold. And we're going to take our text out of Luke 2 today. The ruler of the day was Caesar Augustus. And he had called for there to be a census so that the taxes could be updated, the rolls could all be updated, and they could be formed. And this decree of travel and registration from their highest office in Rome was made to the Jews, and this really frustrated them. It made them furious. As the Jews made their way back to their roots and to their hometowns, it reminded them that they were ruled by Rome. It was their bad news. It hung over them. But they knew that they had to go so that these updated tax rolls could be formed. Do you have any news hanging over you today? Any bad news? Anything that's making you sad? Or even furious? Well, just like then, the Lord has for you today a word. And as I share this morning, there's a number of us here, and we're going to pick out a different nugget, but God has a word for you today. Maybe several words. But every one of you is in this place to hear from God Almighty today. Something that will just prick your heart. A word of hope. A word of courage. Okay? Be listening. I want to say to you today, the good news is that God sends Himself into our fury to bring us peace, just like He did them. The Jews were frustrated and furious. And God said, I'm going to send the Prince of Peace into your situation. This is a peace that passes your intellect. You don't get it. You don't understand. How can I be going through what I'm going through? How can I be filled with anger and fury? And how can I have all this disappointment and sorrow and sadness and yet have a place of peace? I can't understand. And the Lord says, don't try and understand it. In fact, don't even lean on what you can understand. It'll boggle your mind. This peace of God is real. And let me say, if you have yet to really know that, and I mean know it from a heart level, seek Him. Because wise women and wise men still seek God. That's a good place for it. Amen. Wise men still seek Him. Seek. Say, Lord, I got to know this peace. I've got to have this peace. I have to know that You're with me. Make yourself known. Reveal yourself. I've prayed those prayers. I've sought after Him, and He's been faithful. The good news is, this is worth writing down. This is worth putting in your heart, engraving it there. God's message to me, to you, that in the midst of my fury, in the midst of your fury, He is your peace. That is worth praising Him for. Amen. Now you're going to hear me saying that. That is worth praising Him for. And that's going to be your cue to. Amen. Okay, and if you need to get one of those Kleenexes out and do the little pom-pom, go for it. There is some saying. Okay, that's worth praising him for, people. Praise and be lifted high. Praise. And see him inhabit those praises. Now, little did Caesar Augustus know that God sovereignly is at work through what he is trying to do. Through his annoying Roman decree, God is sovereignly working to get that baby born in Bethlehem. Do you know that God has a way of moving through the affairs of nations even to accomplish his will? Don't worry. Don't worry about the future. God's got this. When you read and you see what's going on in the nations, in our country, around the world, do you know that God's got this? He already knows. He already has a plan. God's got this. Tell your neighbor, relax, God's got this. That's your chance. Just wake him up. God's got this. If you're feeling furious and you're annoyed and you're downright frustrated this Christmas, I want you to take heart. Listen, God longs to insert himself into your life's situation. Okay? He wants to insert himself into your life's situation. He wants to bring you not only peace, but hear me, hope. That's good news. Okay, and that is worth praising him for. Okay. He wants to. He's longing to. That's what he came for, to give us life in abundance to the full overflowing. Not just to be like, oh, I'm barely making it. Well, how are you doing today, brother and sister so-and-so? Well, I'm hanging in there. Oh, sign me up for that. I want to be where you're at. You go to church, you know Jesus, you walk with him, and you're hanging in there? I think not. The Lord says, don't even be saying that anymore. Don't be saying, oh, I'm hanging in there, or under my circumstances, I'm doing okay. When were you ever supposed to be under your circumstances? This isn't even in my notes. Somebody needs to hear this. Get out from underneath. He said, we're above, not below and underneath. We're to be raised with him. We're seated in glory with him. That's good news. Okay. That's good news. He longs to insert himself into your life situation and to bring you peace and to bring you hope. God has a knack for using the ordinary to highlight the extraordinary. So three times he mentions in Luke this common little manger, and that it would be a unique sign to the shepherds, and that's how they would know where to find the Christ child who would be wrapped in swaddling clothes. So that's not common. People didn't have babies and have them in the barn and put them in a dirty trough. They didn't do that. So that would be a sign. They would easily be able to find there's probably going to be only one wrapped in swaddling clothes laying in a manger. You and I are ordinary. We're just ordinary people, aren't we? But I'm going to tell you, he loves to use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. I'm not talking to the person sitting next to you. I'm talking to you. Okay? We always think, well, I'm the exception. He can use her, and God uses him, but not me. And I want to read the words to a song that Danabel Hall wrote. It's called Just Ordinary People. God uses ordinary people. He chooses people just like me and you who are just willing to do what he commands. God uses people that will give him their all, no matter how small your all seems to you. He uses the little, because then he makes it into much. And that happens when you place your all into the Master's hands. He deposits his extraordinary into our ordinary. Are you willing to be that person? Are you? I mean, to lay hands on the sick and to allow God to use you to pray over them, to them, for them to recover, for you to pray for someone to have the peace of God, and God says, I'm going to hear and answer that prayer. My extraordinary is going to go through your ordinary. He's going to bless you so you can be a blessing to others. Give him your little, sow your littles, your little time, your little talent, your treasure, your temple, your life, your body, your mind, your soul, your spirit. Sow that as a seed. And watch your ordinary turn into extraordinary. Because the God of the universe puts a little Miracle-Grow on that garden. Any gardeners? Then you know what Miracle-Grow is. That's that fertilizer. And it makes everything lush and plentiful. Little becomes much as you place it in the master's hand. We are just these little jars of clay. We're just little nothings. This little clay on this potter's wheel, and he forms a way. And then he puts his light, his love, his life in that jar so that we would shine out. A few weeks back, we sung, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. I am a trophy of the grace of God. Are you? I know my past. And I know that I stand here forgiven, saved, filled with his spirit, and empowered to do his will, his works. I am a trophy. Any other trophies of the grace of God? You know you've been changed by God. Amen. Amen. If we only had time to share the testimonies. And we're growing in the grace of God and in his knowledge. Constantly. I'm not where I used to be. No. But also, I'm progressing in growing in his grace and in his knowledge. Hallelujah. Oh, to be a trophy of God's. Now that's worth praising God for. You're good. You're good. The splendor of that vision from the angels to the shepherds would forever not only change their lives, but it was going to change the lives of everybody they shared it with. They would eventually hear this good news because they were about to go and tell. Out of Luke 2, I would like to read. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for him in the inn. This beautiful message had been communicated to Mary and Joseph months ago in Nazareth. Now finally, the king had arrived. Jesus the Messiah was born to this virgin and to her faithful man Joseph, who had been by her side all the way. It was a 70-mile long haul over many days, many hills, from the terrain of the Nazareth, from Nazareth in Galilee. They went up to the city of David, which was just outside of Jerusalem. Now, can you imagine this pregnant woman in her third trimester with a baby bouncing on her bladder? Sorry, guys, it's not a good thing. It's just pain, all that way. They got there. He was born. And all of heaven rejoiced. Their secret from that angel was about to be expanded beyond just the two of them. The angels were about to go public, and they were about to proclaim that the Messiah had come. Now, up until this point, the angelic encounters had been one-on-one. Mary, Joseph in his dream, Zechariah, who had been visited by an angel who told him that he and his wife, who were very up there in their years, very old, were going to have a son. And this son would be John. And he would be the cousin to Jesus, and he would be the forerunner. He would tell of what is to come, of this Messiah. He would prepare the way. These had all been private encounters. But now, the angels were about ready to go public. Oh, to have been there. And they didn't choose, the angels did not go into the temple to make this big announcement. No. Rather, they went to the fields, to where the shepherds were, the ordinary, the outcasts of society. Luke 2, 8 through 9 says, in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. It is so significant that the Lord chose the lowest class of this society, the shepherds, because he wanted them to hear this announcement. He wanted to punctuate the fact that nobody is an outcast to him. He wanted this announcement to be made to these shepherds because they were low in their occupation. They were untrustworthy in their character. They were ceremonially unclean for worship. They were a group that was outcast. But now, the glorious message was being shared with them in public. Christ has been born, and the fields shone with splendor, with glory. It took their breath away. In fact, it filled them with fear, as you can only imagine. I mean, this portrayal, but can you imagine, you guys? The sweat, I mean, falling on their faces, hiding their eyes even, how they could even stand in the presence of this angelic host. The first thing that they said was, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, and it will be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The shepherds already knew the bad news of the day. But now, Christ has come. There was good news on the horizon. For the whole world, God, the Messiah, Jesus, had come. They had come to tell this great, amazing news. This amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I've been found. Have you ever been lost? I mean, have you ever really been lost? Like, I'm talking, like, lost. Anybody? When you were driving? The girls will admit it. The gals will admit it. Girls, if you need to raise his hand that he has been lost, but he has not wanted to ask for directions. Okay, so there was a lostness, and God was going to do something about this lostness of our society, of the world. He was sending Jesus to bridge the gap. Okay, no longer sacrifices of bulls and goats and sheep. There was going to be a blood sacrifice that Jesus would make someday on the cross. And that would be the blood sacrifice of all times. No more blood needed to be sacrificed. The one and only sinless begotten Son of God had come to bring hope to our lostness. You know, I was thinking of one time that I was really, 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 really lost. I want to share that with you. It was when we were camping with our horses. We loved camping at MacArthur Rim at Three Sisters Wilderness. I don't know if anybody know where that's at, Jefferson, all that sisters area. It is glorious up there. We would go there almost every summer for about 10 years with our family and our horses. We were riding one day, and it was magnificent. You get to top of that rim, and you can see mountain ranges from the coast forever and ever. It is spectacular. We've been there. It will take your breath away. And what's really fun when you're horse riding and camping and trail riding is when you pass the people that are just hiking on foot. You're like, excuse me, pardon me, excuse me. I love it. I love it. I love it. So you get up there and we're riding through the snow and the meadows. It is the magnificent forests, trails, and it's heaven on earth. Well, one time, after we'd been through acres and acres of those beautiful meadows and those streams and those amazing forests, things start to kind of look unfamiliar. We lost our trail because the snow had kind of covered the trail, and we were lost. We really, 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 really were lost. Now, normally you can kind of see where the sun is and figure out, okay, where the, we couldn't. And I begin to imagine. Does anybody have an imagination? Okay. I mean, I imagined, okay, what the cold nights were going to be like. Because, you know, you've heard about this. You've read about this. This happened. People really do get lost in the forest, in the wilderness, yes? So I'm imagining. And part of our family is back at camp. And they're probably thinking they should have been home 2 hours ago. What is up? And nothing looked familiar. And we kept going and going and going. And I imagined the search parties, the nights without food. I even imagined the TV crews called in, the helicopters. I imagine, okay, this is going national right here. We are really, really, really lost. And we really knew we were lost. The sun was going down. And that's really bad because it gets really dark when the sun goes down. And then you really can't find your way. We begin to pray, and I think probably the family back at the campsite prayed because they knew this isn't normal. They should have been back long before now. I want to tell you, before that sun did set, by the grace of God, we were found. Okay? We made it out. We made it back to safety. And I want to tell you right now, if you feel like you are lost, maybe there's a direction and you don't know which way to go. You see that trailhead, but you see all these different places. But which way to turn? Like in The Wizard of Oz. Which way do I go? I don't know. I just feel lost. I feel lost in my soul, my deepest part. I feel lost. Jesus said he came to seek and to save. He saved us that day. We found our way. He came, he answered our prayer. He said, I will find you if you seek me with all of your heart. If you have a decision you need to make, seek him. If you feel lost, seek him. Remember, wise men, wise women still seek him. Now that is something worth praising God for. He came to seek and save those who are lost. He is our good shepherd, and he said, I will leave the 99 in the fold, and I will go after the one who is lost. That's your faithful lover, your shepherd. Jesus was arriving to cure this world of sin and this horrible problem that humanity had. The human race needed somebody to bring us back to fellowship with his Father. The angels declared this message. Emmanuel means God is with us. Redemption was possible. Christ the Savior had come. The Messiah, the Anointed One, came to rule as King. Salvation. Amen. It was validated and punctuated by that amazing hosts of angels proclaiming glory to God in the highest. And the shepherds with their little flocks in that field were the first to receive that amazing public announcement. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. It was very kind of the Lord to send the number one angel, the first angel, to speak it before those heavenly choirs. Because if he had just sent the heavenly choirs, can you only imagine? They probably would have died of a heart attack. Don't you suppose? I mean, a host. A host is like millions. And these were the angels who have been in heaven before the throne of God Almighty, praising for all of eternity. This is the host that have been saying glory to God in the highest. Glory. They have been saying holy, holy, holy is the Lord. These are the angels. Their eyes had been exposed to his majesty, his splendor, and he sent them down to this earth. That is worth something to praise God over. Can you only imagine how they could contain it when they got to be dispatched to go down to earth, to be the ones to sing and to praise? Oh, I can hardly wait. They knew his holy presence. And they came to light up the sky. Extravaganza that no other kingdom could even touch. No Disney kingdom could even fathom that one. He is glorious in all that he does. His splendor, his glory lights up not only this earth, but little ordinary hearts. He is the light of the world. He's the light of our hearts. He brings something worth living for. And I want you to seek him with all of your heart. I want it to be your number one priority. Okay, off the notes. A friend was saying this week and even praying. She said, I just feel like the Lord saying, this new year, he wants more of my time. And he wants me to spend more time with him. I'll tell you what, whatever is priority in your life is priority in your life. How about taking this challenge? How many have a cell phone? Okay. How many have Facebook? Or you can get your emails on your phone. You have a smartphone, okay? How many have a computer? Are you on it a little bit? How many have TV? I'm going to break it down. How many have 8-tracks? We're just going to work our way back. So those are just some things that can take a little of our time. The TV, the computer, Facebook. I want to challenge you, those of you that have, so this is going to narrow it down, this little challenge. If you have a smartphone and you do Facebook, Instagram, whatever, how's about in the morning when you rise, if you don't check your phone before you've checked with the throne of God? Okay, goodbye. Conviction of the Holy Spirit. If you grab that phone before you grab onto Jesus, you're telling him, just a second. And you know what? That second may never happen. We grab that. Oh, who couldn't live with me tonight? Who did I miss through in the middle of the night? They had to send me a message, or I've got to check what's going on in their lives, or I've got to check my emails, or I've got to check whose phone call I missed, or I've got to turn on the news on the TV, or I've got to answer it. Come on, you guys, work it with me. Okay? Is it not the truth? Am I speaking truth? So help me, Lord. Okay? So I challenge you, before you go to the phone, the computer, the TV, anything else that might start your day off with clutter, go to the throne, go to your word, go to God. Before your knees, your feet hit the floor, speak to the Lord while you're still lying on that bed. God, I welcome you into my day. Holy Spirit, good morning. Okay? See how long you can get into that word of God. Get a word from him. You know, he's longing. He's waiting. Every morning he's waiting to get up with you. He's got a message. Oh, he's got messages. He's got lots of messages if we'll just go and listen. Now, somebody needed that. I don't even know. Did anybody need that?
Amen. Okay, good.
The shepherds got this great news. And they had to go and tell. They could not keep it to themselves. And I'm so glad that the angel said, now, shh, don't tell anybody. Because I think they would have combusted if they would have had to hold that great, glorious experience and news in. Oh, they went. These men from the fields, they found and went, saw this little Messiah in the manger, wrapped in the swaddling clothes. And they knew they had to go tell this story. Now, I don't want you to miss this part. They eventually went back to work, and they were the first evangelists that told the good news. But they also went back to their ordinary lives with their families in their domain, and they told and they proclaimed this good news of the Messiah. And the Lord says today, go back. Sometimes I think we come into a circle of this, a great family of God, and we're bold and we're high-fiving Jesus and we're happy and we're spreading that love. We have that love fest. But then we go back to our home, back to our job, back to our neighborhood, and they see a whole different person. In fact, they get surprised when they hear you even go to church. Wow, so-and-so goes to, boy, I didn't even know they were a Christian. Ouch! Ouch! We're to go back to our domain with the good news. We're to go back and let that shine forth. To spread it. To spread his praise and make his praise glorious. And to exclaim, Jesus is Lord. Thank you for your offertory today. Great songs. His name, there is no other name like the name of Jesus. He does not want us to remain separated from this world. Okay? He said we're to be in the world and be part of what they're doing. We're to mix with them at the meal, at the school, at the store. Mix with this world. Be the influencer. Don't be influenced by. Be the one that brings the kingdom of God into their realm and makes it a reality where they're living. Be his love. Spread his power. Go back. Choose to love others well. Get all excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is Lord. This Christmas, we know this story well. Nothing really new. But there is a challenge. Make Christ central. Make him first in your heart, and it won't be hard to talk about him. It won't be hard to shine your light because he's infused your fury with his peace and his hope. He has come. And he has given you life in abundance. And it's just natural that it spills out and over onto the others that are in your life. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I know that before we can praise and honor and respect and love you, we have to have an encounter with you. And I pray this morning, Lord, for our hearts that are still before you now. We leave a margin of time right now for you. We've heard the good news of the gospel that you came You came into our world, into our lives, because of your great love. And today, I just want to make opportunity, if you have yet to know and experience and encounter the love of God through his son, Jesus, by revelation of Holy Spirit, I invite you to make this your decision day. Church family, could we just repeat this prayer together?
Lord Jesus, I need you. Every hour I need you.
I need you to take over my life. I give you my heart, my dreams, my despair. I give you my all. I ask that you would touch me and make me whole. I ask that your glory would fill me, that your spirit would awaken me to your presence. I accept your gift. It is worth praising you for. It is worth adoring you. Give me courage. Give me boldness. Fill my life to overflowing for your glory.